Hello and welcome to Swiss Info's roundup of news and culture for the week of August 13th. I'm Tim Neville in Bern.
8,000 people.
Hallo Heidi.
Sounds of the universe.
Police makes controls.
Mercenaries set up shop in Basel. The Locarno Film Festival is underway, where organizers pay a tribute to American actor John C. Reilly. He's one of my personal favorites. There's one less wolf in the Alps and 1 million Swiss francs. We'll tell you what's behind that number later. Guaranteed you'll tell your friends about that one, so stay tuned. All this and more coming up, but first, the news. Outgoing Cabinet Minister Moritz Leuenberger has announced this week he will be leaving office sooner than planned. The minister, who holds the transportation, communication, environment, and energy portfolios, had wanted to leave office in December, but things turned complicated when another cabinet minister, Finance Minister Hans-Rudolf Merz, announced he too would be stepping down, but in October. No exact date has been set for Leuenberger's resignation, but by moving it up, Parliament will be able to elect both replacements on September 22nd. As for who those replacements will be, there's only speculation at the moment, but two of the frontrunners are women. If elected, women would hold 5 of the 7 posts, the first female majority in the country's executive branch in the history of the nation. The devastation in Pakistan caused by recent flooding has affected millions of people and killed more than 1,400. The UN has appealed to member states to provide $459 million to Pakistan over the next 3 months. The Swiss have heeded the call. Jessica Dacey has more.
The Swiss Foreign Ministry said on August 12th that it would increase aid to Pakistani flood victims by another 2.5 million Swiss francs. The International Committee of the Red Cross will receive about 2 million of this to add to the 1 million Swiss francs it has already received. The other 500,000 Swiss francs will go to the Pakistan Emergency Fund set up by the UN World Food Programme. That essentially doubles the Swiss contribution. Switzerland is also preparing to send more emergency relief experts to the disaster regions to determine the best way to help. Materials bought locally with Swiss money are already being distributed, such as plastic sheeting, mattresses, blankets, and cooking equipment. The UN estimates that 14 million Pakistanis have been affected, of whom 6 million need emergency aid if they are to survive.
Swiss Solidarity, a charitable arm of Swiss Info's parent company, the Swiss Broadcasting Company, will hold a special fundraising day for Pakistan on August 18. It's no secret that Switzerland prides itself on, among other things, its neutrality and competitive tax rates that attract businesses. But those two clashed this week when a British security firm that provides mercenaries for war zones set up a holding company in Basel. Aegis Defense Services employs an estimated 20,000 soldiers, mostly in Iraq and Afghanistan, who have taken up arms on behalf of the United States. While Swiss arms exports are strictly controlled so as to not breach neutrality policies, the presence of Aegis raises questions over the place of a private security firm within Switzerland. To date, there are no national laws regulating the export of mercenary services outside its borders, something that the Swiss themselves used to be famous for in the late Middle Ages. Aware of the potentially sticky situation, Aegis says, quote, "No business activities will be conducted in or from Switzerland," end quote. But Albert Stahl, a professor of strategic studies at Zurich University, doesn't buy that.
That's rubbish. There is a contradiction to our stake, or that something against neutrality.
Stahl says the answer to the problem is simple.
It's not difficult to introduce in our law something which would give the government the possibility to control these kinds of arms.
And speaking of guns, Swiss game wardens have shot a male wolf suspected of attacking livestock in Canton Valley. Officials had approved the shooting on August 3, following two separate attacks on calves, which left 2 dead and 1 injured in late July. The wolf was shot in the Montana-Varnalalp area, local authorities announced on August 11. He had been spotted near a herd of cattle. On August 10, DNA tests proved that a male wolf, originally from an Italian pack, along with his female mate, were responsible for killing sheep in early July. For now, the female wolf is safe, since the Valley authorities only permitted the shooting of 1 wolf.
You're listening to Swiss Info's weekly roundup of news and culture in Switzerland.
John!
John!
What are you doing here?
I'm getting married. Tim and I are getting married.
Don't you want me?
My ex-wife's getting remarried. I'm lonely, depressed, but I have all these gifts. I'm a blast.
We're kind of like having a conversation here,
I'm gonna have some conversations too here eventually.
Recognize that male voice? It's from the movie Cyrus, starring John C. Reilly, who was in Switzerland this week for the Locarno Film Festival. The American actor in movies such as Chicago, Magnolia, and Walk Hard: The Dewey Cox Story was there because festival organizers wanted to pay tribute to his work. Among the films being shown was the European premiere of Cyrus, the story of an offbeat love triangle between a divorced man, his girlfriend, and his girlfriend's son. Swiss Info caught up with Reilly at a press conference this week. He apparently liked Locarno so much that he decided to stay an extra night.
I have to say, I'm very honored that Locarno chose to honor me in this way, and I hope it catches on. I hope festivals all over the world suddenly realize that they need to do tributes to me. But it's very humbling and a great honor.
Some people have said, oh, Locarno, it's not so glamorous as a lot of the other festivals, but what's your take on that?
You're right, it's not so glamorous. What I find really impressive about Locarno is that, you know, you can assemble 8,000 people in the piazza for a film. I mean, I was saying, like, I don't know that Telluride or even Toronto or Sundance could do that. 8,000 people at once to watch a film together outdoors.
Coming up, we'll hear about an American expat named Heidi who struggles to remember Swiss names. But first, what are the most popular Swiss names anyway? As it turns out, Luca and Nathan are the favorite for Swiss baby boys, with Lara, that's L-A-R-A, ranking high once again in all four national language regions. According to a report released by the Federal Statistics Office on August 9, there were about 78,000 births registered in the country last year. As for names, in French-speaking Switzerland, there was no change at the top for either sex. Emma saw off Lara, that's the same spelling, and Chloe, with Nathan followed by Luca and Noah. In the Italian-speaking part of the country, Leonardo, Matteo, Giulia, and Sofia were most popular. The small number of births among Switzerland's 35,000 Romance speakers results in large fluctuations, with 2009 seeing a four-way tie at the top. Three Leonardos, Livios, Nandos, and Nicos appeared on the scene. Lara, again same spelling, was the most popular girl's name. Other top names for girls include Sarah, Leah, Anna, Julia, and Nina. As Swiss Info's Thomas Stevens says, Swiss parents are obviously taking the advice of U.S. comedian Bill Cosby. Always end the name of your child with a vowel, so that when you yell, the name will carry. That's a clue to what's behind that 1 million Swiss franc figure I mentioned earlier. But no, it's not a prize for Formula One, but rather what may prove to be the world's largest speeding ticket ever. Earlier this week, a 37-year-old driver from Sweden was caught doing 290 kilometers per hour on the A12 route between Bern and Lausanne. That's 180 miles per hour and a whopping 170 kilometers per hour faster than the speed limit. The driver of a 322,000-franc Mercedes SLS AMG was going so fast, in fact, that radar cameras couldn't get a good look at him. It wasn't until the driver reached a newer generation of cameras near Lausanne that he got caught. The driver said his speedometer was not working, and he wasn't aware he was going so fast. Based on the crime and Switzerland's unique system of calculating fines based on salaries, the driver faces a penalty of 3,485 francs per day for 300 days, or 1,045,500 francs. Thomas Rohrbach, spokesman for the Federal Roads Office, told SwissInfo.ch that despite the spectacular speedster, Swiss roads aren't so dangerous.
There is a study of, I think it's the European Road Safety Board, that tested all European motorways, and Swiss motorways are the safest.
And it's not the fastest anyone has ever been caught going, either. In May 2003 in Texas, a Swedish-built car was caught doing 242 miles per hour in a 75-mile-per-hour zone. and one of the slowest speeds worthy of a speeding ticket, Walter Arnold of Britain was fined in 1896 for doing 8 miles per hour in a 2 mile per hour zone. Despite her name, Heidi Hagemeyer is actually an American who, until moving to Switzerland 2 years ago, didn't speak a lick of German. And while she dutifully hit the grammar books to learn all about adjective endings and how to stack verbs at the end of a clause, one thing continues to confound her: how to remember Swiss names. She filed this from the swissinfo.ch blog about life in Switzerland right on.
I've decided to give myself homework. Just as one jots down new words on index cards when learning a language, I need to memorize the names of my neighbors. That's because after nearly 2 years in Switzerland, I still regularly trip over greetings. Formal or informal? Pause for a chat or continue on your way? And remembering all the names. To explain, we moved to a relatively tight-knit neighborhood at the tail end of warm weather last year. Winter doesn't make for much outdoor socializing, but now we've met quite a few people at the playground, in the street, and in the communal green space between buildings. The familiarity is wonderful. I like the idea that we're part of a village, even though we're still in Bern city limits. But the first quandary for me is remembering names. This is critical in a chance encounter, because the name is invariably used in greeting. "Hallo, Heidi," the blonde woman in the next building said to me the other day. We introduced ourselves last week. But is it Kathleen or Catherine? Or something that just sounded to me like Catherine? My name, Heidi, obviously isn't strange to the Swiss ear. But sometimes for me, the Swiss names are just slightly different enough that I make mix-ups. Is it Brigitte who lives across the street? And Britta at daycare? Or the other way around? And then there are Sabine and Nadine, who live in the same building. Next, I still need to temper that American habit of greeting everyone with, "Hi, how are you?" On the other side of the pond, that "how are you" is a reflex. So is the answer, "Good, thanks, you?" This can take place, for instance, with two people running past each other during their daily workout. The attempt to stop and chat is zero. Here, it's meant as a signal to pause, enter into conversation. It's a sincere inquiry into what's going on, and there's a time and place for that. A few times here, when I've tossed in a "how are you," the response has startled me a bit. Not, "Great, you," but, "I'm sorry, I have food in the oven," or, "Look, I'm on my way out to meet someone." So perhaps I just need more practice. I'll get out those index cards. It couldn't hurt.
Good luck, Heidi. To read more about life in Switzerland for expats, head to writeon.swissinfo.ch. That's write as in with a pen. And that brings us to the end of another week in Switzerland. To learn more about the stories you've heard here, or to see a video about 175 years of boat travel on Switzerland's stunning Lake Thun, visit us online at swissinfo.ch. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tim Neville in Bern.